Hello, and welcome to the Anime Nano Podcast, Episode 7. Whoa, Nana. Okay, I am your host, Hang Trong, writer of... Are you going to say it here now?
Oh, I thought you were going to say it. Okay. It was last week's special thing or something.
Okay, I'll say it. Basugasu Bakuhatsu Anime Vlog. With me are your co-hosts, or my co-hosts. They're everyone's co-hosts. JP Meyer of Minaide Hazukishi.
This time I have my keyboard.
Yeah, so you can type. You can make typing sound effects. We also have Hinano from X-Fansubber Hitorigoto.
Hello.
Hi, Hinano. She's using her old-school mic now.
Yep.
So we'll see if that helps the audio quality. So last time, we spent a really long time on the mailbag. This time, we'll do some more original topics, I guess, and we'll just put the mailbag at the end. So let's start on our cool-ass topics. That's got to be the name for it now, cool-ass topics. Okay, so one of the big news things is Bandai is threatening to sue fansubbers who fansub...
Ghost in the Shell OVA.
Ghost in the Shell OVA? Right, so what's the news with this?
They're sending messages to all the fansubbers saying that, you know, it's against the law to fansub it because we've licensed it, and if you sub, we'll take legal action, and... There's apparently some fansubbers who are being smartasses and saying we don't give a crap. Big thing going on there.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Which Bandai was generally one of, like, the companies that were kind of, like, lenient on fansubs, and this time they're actually getting tough on it.
Yeah, well, it looks like they're doing, like, some kind of preemptive strike thing, right? Like, they're just putting it out there, like, we're gonna sue you if you fansub it, rather than waiting for people to fansub it and then... You know, issuing the stop this now order.
Yeah,
I guess the big deal is because this is an OVA, like, you know, you'd get the entire thing fans up, like, all at once, rather than if, like, it was a series or something, and, like, a group stopped after, like, 10 episodes or something, and there were still 16 to go. Like, here, you've already got everything.
Well, and plus, OVAs are you know, meant for sale. Like, TV series are supposed to be on the air, so...
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, it's okay to... It's more okay to fansub because it's being broadcast, whereas OVAs are just sold, and that's the only way you can get it, right?
I do remember a while ago, ADV had licensed some kind of a series that had not even aired in Japan yet, and they said, we've licensed it because, you know, before it even came out. I can't remember what series it was, but they, like, said, you know, we've licensed it anymore, you can't fansub it. But that was a while ago, before anybody really cared.
So what do you think about it?
Been,
like, as an ex-fansubber?
Genion been on? Like, Genion been, like, pre-licensing a lot of stuff lately, although they haven't really cared
that's
too much?
That might have been them. It was either ADV or
Genion, I think they,
one of those.
A lot of series, like, they have that policy. Like, I think...
Like, Shanna and Fate Stay Night.
Yeah, Fate Stay Night.
Ichigo Mashimaro.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gunsword.
Personally, when I was fansubbing, everything that I ever fansubbed was never licensed up until actually after I finished the series. I've never actually had a problem where, like, I had a series and I was in the middle of it and they got licensed but I couldn't finish it. That never actually happened to me.
See, we're lazy, so, like, Beautiful Joe and Mare got licensed while we were working on it because we take way too long doing our pieces, so we just stopped on those and moved on to
There was a thing, though, when I used to scan late manga, PETA 10 got licensed, like, the manga got licensed by some company, and I stopped at volume 4. I finished 4 volumes, and I just stopped.
I love PETA 10. It's so cute.
I had Kokidombo sign my PETA 10 volume 8.
Nice. Is she hot?
No, she's like an old lady.
Oh.
She's like in her 40s.
Okay.
So then she's not old. She's experienced.
Oh. So now we're going to bring in a special guest, DRMCHSR0, because I don't know how to pronounce
that.
Dream Chaser. He wanted to talk about the Bandai suing fansubbers thing. So here we go. Okay, here. Whoa.
Hello.
Hello, DRM?
Yeah?
Hey, dude. So
yes.
What is your take?
Hi.
Yeah, so what's your take on the Bandai thing and suing fansubbers?
Bandai itself is maybe going a little bit overboard with this because, well, I think they, well, correct me on this, but don't they own the rights to Gundam? Or at least it's Model Kits or something? Gundam.
Yeah, Bandai's the toy company too.
They make a lot of card games too, don't they?
Yeah, that's true.
That might be a subsidiary, yeah.
They don't make card games. Because I've heard from a friend that their press release is a worldwide press release. And yes, they probably are able to target anyone, anywhere. But still, it's still Mine is still going a bit overboard.
Well, you sounded like a robot.
Yeah, I can barely hear.
I was saying, mine is going a bit overboard.
They're overstepping their boundaries, you think?
They're giving fan subs a challenge in a way, though. Kind of like, hey, you know, we're not allowed to fan subs. Like, oh, is that a challenge? Touche.
Well, actually, if there were still any fan subs, I'm afraid this might blow up into the whole Anime Junkies incident all over again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, seriously, yep.
But Anime Junkies were really bad, weren't they?
Yeah, their fan subs sucked. Making child events.
So they kind of made people want to buy the real thing.
Yes, ironically. But yes, here's the thing. The fans of us themselves also need, let's say, adjust their tactics a bit.
What do you mean by that? Like,
well, for starters, they shouldn't really announce their titles. Announce the titles they're selling.
So you, well, you think they should go underground or something?
Well, not exactly underground, but yeah, they shouldn't really announce it so publicly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Trail sites. You know, even though it's IRC, they probably have no grounds unless someone is in there 24/7 to log them.
Well, the thing is, Anime Junkies like made it obvious that they wanted to know everybody if they were fan subbing whatever the hell they were fan subbing. They didn't try to be secretive about it at all.
Yeah, they kind of had like no shame, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but a couple of them do have no shame. Yeah. If you do announce that, say, through the IRC, well, it's pretty much everyone in the IRC and anyone else who's in the IRC channel.
Yeah.
And, well, you don't really put it on the website because, well, you know.
So you're saying,
you know, like meta followers and stuff?
Site publicly. They were like, oh, we're fans up in this series. Everybody download from our torrent. Yeah, yeah.
So you think, well, I mean, yeah, but so since Bandai is threatening to sue these fan subbers, do you think that, what, like, in the future, that fan subbers are going to have to be less, or more discreet about their releases, or?
Yes, they should be a bit more discreet. And of course, the attitudes could use a little change.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right now, fan subbers seem kind of, like, cocky, you know?
They are pretty cocky. I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons why I quit fan subbing, because they were just getting really obnoxious. Like, oh, we subbed it first, or haha, you know, ours is better than yours, our quality's better, blah, blah, blah.
So anything else you want to say, DRM?
Yeah, if Panda were to actually pursue their lawsuits, they're going to see a huge drop in their profits. And that means there's business share for all of us. No, seriously.
That's true, I totally agree that, you know, fan subbers might be insulted, and then the fans will be like, well, they don't want fan subs, so, you know, we're not going to buy their stuff anymore.
Woo! That's a big drop in markets. Market sales.
Wow, robot time again. Okay.
I can barely hear because of that robot.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's really going to matter, though.
Robot, I am a robot.
Just because it's Ghost in the Shell, so, I mean, it's one of, like, the best-selling titles, so, like, you know, it's going to get sold regardless of whether there are fan subs like for it.
I've never seen Ghost in the Shell.
Yes, I've been a fan.
I haven't either.
I've only seen a bit. The only thing I've
I have it on my computer somewhere.
Ghost in the Shell.
Oh my god, they're gonna I've sue you, JP.
Ghost in the Shell.
What did I do?
You have Ghost on the Shell on your computer. Ghost in the Shell.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thanks DRMCHSR0 for showing up and giving us your opinion.
Yes, and now it's time to leave my microphone.
Okay, bye. What a weirdo. You want to go on to the next topic?
Sure.
Which is?
AMVs being deleted from YouTube. I haven't heard about this. This is like Hirano's subject.
I'm a victim.
Oh no.
I've gotten 2 notices from YouTube saying, your video's been removed because it contains copyrighted blah blah blah. If you keep uploading copyrighted material, we're going to delete your account and, you know, ban you from using YouTube. And I'm just like, what did I ever do? The videos that were deleted was, the first one was the Sonic X video. Now, I mean, I guess I can understand that because Sonic has been pretty popular in America and maybe they're cracking after the Japanese version now.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was my Smile video. That was multiple series. So I'm not sure which series triggered the deletion. And my hunch is that it was Digimon because, you know, Bandai really like owns all of Digimon. You know, and after the whole fan subs thing, I was kind of thinking, oh, Digimon, That's what I think it was.
Well, so, is this actually perhaps a blessing in disguise? Because it will get rid of all of the Linkin Park and Creed AMVs?
True. Actually, speaking of the whole thing, Linkin Park videos are all banned from AMVs.org, and like because the company said, you know, we don't want any of our music being publicly downloadable, so you can't upload any Linkin Park music AMVs to the site.
That is a blessing, I think.
Delete the Jam Project AMVs, so the only ones I can watch without feeling really embarrassed for some reason.
So don't AMVs fall under like fair use though?
No.
Not
fair
at all.
Use is like one of those things that people don't really know what it consists of, so they try to like think that everything is fair use. A good example of fair use would be like if say like you're making like a amateur documentary movie or something,
mm-hmm.
and you like are filming somebody in like their living room and like it picks up what's on their TV, or if you use like you know a quote from like a paragraph or something out of like an entire book, like that sort of thing is fair use. Like you're not sort of really allowed to do whatever you want with other people's copyrighted material, even if it mm-hmm. is like not for any sort of profit or whatever.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Actually, we can branch off to the next topic regarding DeviantArt. They've been cracking down on everything too. In fact, they have prints. You can buy, you know, prints from DeviantArt. You know, they totally rip you off and take like half your profit. But even though if you go in DeviantArt, if you go into their print section, there's actually a fan art section. And I had a picture, my only print that I had on there, which was of Higurashi no Nakokoroni of like Rena with the axe or whatever, and it got taken down saying, you know, this is copyrighted, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, well, excuse me, you take down Higurashi, but yeah, we have Naruto and Bleach and Kingdom Hearts floating around for free. And they're like, well, they're allowed to be on there, but once somebody actually buys the print, then it goes through our quality check, and if it's copyrighted, we won't let them print it.
It's probably because Naruto and all those other popular series makes DeviantArt money, isn't it?
No, I mean, that's the thing, is that, like, they don't check the prints at all until somebody actually buys it.
So
which I guess obviously, which pretty much just tells me that nobody buys DeviantArt prints. Because there's a ton of crap on there that's on there that has not been caught
so
yet.
So someone bought your Higurashi one?
That must be it. That's how I got caught.
Cool.
That's really weird. Well,
but nobody bought it, you know, because it went through quality check and then they said, you know, not allowed, so they wouldn't let me. But that's okay. I'll sell it at Manga Next. I'll print it in my own personal, you know, way.
Yeah, that's one of the things, too, that people with fair use, where people think that everything is fair use, something like that isn't really fair use, but it's okay, like drawing fan art or whatever. But then, like, the issue, yeah, is that now DeviantArt is profiting off of somebody else's copyrighted material, so then that's a no-no, even though it's okay for you
right.
as
that's
a, like,
what I'm saying,
fan
is that, like,
to draw a picture of Higurashi.
Right, but that's the thing, this is the other thing. So let's say I'm drawing original fan art, which is allowed. You know, like if I drew a fan art of like my friend's character, that's allowed because I have permission from my friend to draw the character. But the problem here is now DeviantArt is making half profit off my character or her character. And yet that's okay. You see, like,
well,
the problem
then we're just getting into why I love Marxism, but that's not a topic for today.
Well, yeah,
anyway, the other
you
thing
see, profit is just unpaid labor.
Well, the other thing is with DeviantArt that's going on right now is they're really, like, cracking down on all the yaoi fan artists, and they're, like, taking down any kind of yaoi artwork, even if it's not, like, really, like, visually sexual or visually graphic in nature, they're just taking it down.
Only yaoi?
So if it's, like, a shirtless boy or something, they'll take that down?
Apparently, like, look, there's two guys who are, like, hugging each other, or, like, one of guys' hand down some other guy's pants, they take it down.
They're just good friends.
Well, anyway, the thing is, though, what pisses me off is that all these yaoi fangirls are like, oh, no, our art's getting taken down. They're not fair because all these nude women are allowed, but, you know, two guys aren't allowed. But then, you know, they have this
whole
thing called...
That's because everybody likes naked ladies, and nobody likes guys
performing.
But wait,
but there's a lot of yaoi fangirls
that cannot be known.
Well, everyone likes titties, right?
Okay, but listen,
yeah,
there's a lot of yaoi fangirls, though. There's, like, more yaoi fan girls in DeviantArt than, like, any other place, except for Y Gallery. Y Gallery is strictly for, like, yaoi fan art, and they allow, like, sexual fan art. So I'm like, what's the discrimination? Like, you have a gallery for, like, yaoi fan art, but there's no gallery for hentai fan art. That's not fair. I feel discriminated again.
Today, on a very special Anime Nano podcast, Hinata learns about society's gender double stereotype.
Well, that's all I have to say about DeviantArt.
Like, why you never see penises in movies, but you see naked ladies all the time.
I know, right?
Or how you can see guys' boobs, but you can't see girls' boobs.
apparently, according to filmsite.org, which has a lot of like lists of like famous movie lists or whatever, whether it's things like lists of like memorable quotes or like Oscar winners or whatever, they have a list in like important like moments in like sex and nudity in film. And apparently, the first like erect penis in a movie didn't appear until 1999 in France.
In 1999?
Wait, they actually have like erect penises in movies? What was this?
Apparently, that's the only one.
What about like like Pitching Tents?
Other than the actually then recently the Brown Bunny, Pitching Tents is not like a boner on the screen like poking your eye out.
Okay.
Well, actually, there's also the Brown Bunny because the whole point of that the whole movie is like night is like Vincent Gallo riding on his motorcycle for like a long time and then him getting an unsimulated deej at the end.
Okay. Hey, let's talk about the Canon remake. Because, like,
there's
this huge buzz about the Canon remake, or Canon.
Do we all agree that the 2002 version is ugly as hell compared to the new one?
Okay, so when I started Basugasu Bakuhatsu, right? So one of, like one of the points of review, right, for anime would be if the characters didn't have giant cheeks. Because Canon just has, like, the biggest cheeks in the world, like... I don't know, man. I
it's just the anime, I think.
It was a really, really good anime, right?
The game wasn't as cheeky.
I think it was, like, rated, you know, like, the best anime for a really long time, like, on one of those sites, like, AnimeDB or something.
Oh, really?
Or Anime Info? Info?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I couldn't get past the cheeks. Like, it wasn't a solid 10 for me because of the cheeks. And I looked at the previews for this new one, and it looks like they toned down the cheeks a little bit, like they did in Air.
They basically made it look closer to the actual game, but Toei Animation, they took the game and, like, made them, like, they gave them, like, cheek surgery.
So does the game have big cheeks, too?
Not as much as Toei Animation made it.
Okay.
The way Kyo Animation made it is actually pretty close to what the original game looks like.
So the game has, like, elaborate snow effects?
Well, actually, the game was... I don't know... For me, the sound in the game didn't work. I don't think the game had sound. So that was a big disappointment for me. So that's why I was kind of happy to see the anime, to hear voices.
Well, like, the game came out, probably.
The game kind of sucked then, because you couldn't hear them moaning during the sex scenes.
No, I wanted to hear them speaking, so I could, like, learn some kanji. You know, like, you learn kanji from Arrow games?
I thought there was no sex scenes in canon.
There is.
What?
Well, it depends if you play the Dreamcast version.
It depends on your version.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
The console versions of Arrow Game never have sex.
Right.
And the PC versions always do.
I thought Canon was
I heard they are coming out with a PC version of Canon that's not sex.
I thought Canon was just not, like, Arrow at all.
No.
Aren't they, like, in high school or something?
Aren't they always in high school?
Okay. Well, isn't that one girl with the... What is her name? Ayu?
Yes.
Isn't she, like, supposed to be, like, still, like, 9 years old or something?
No. Ayu was the same age as Yui.
Does it even matter if she's actually 9 years
old? Okay.
Remember, this is an Arrow game.
Well, okay, I saw Canon, like, well, it was like one of the first anime I'd ever seen.
9 years old is her past version, but she's the same age as Yui. She's like 16 or 15 years old.
Oh. Okay.
So 7 years ago, she was 9 years old.
So one of the things...
Not, like, in the current time.
Like, one of the things about this new one is I'm kind of worried because, like, I've already seen the old one, so I don't know if it'll be as good. You know, just because I know what happens at the end.
Yeah, that's true. The only other thing is that, like, they've now increased the episode count from 13 to 24, and I'm just wondering what the hell are they going to put in 24 episodes?
I'm never really sure how, like, they should do the stories in those kind of anime, because, like, it seems like it would be weird if they went through the different, like, characters' stories, because it's like, because then they have to either, like, resolve them somehow, because they need to, like, end, like, tie the whole thing up somehow.
Right.
So, like, you
well, as long
like,
as
have
he ends up with Ayu
somebody.
Again, I'll be happy.
Well, they could do, couldn't they just do it like Higurashi, where they go through the different arcs?
No, they're not doing that, no. I think what they're doing is just like, I mean, based on what I'm assuming, that they just go through every single girl's story, but instead of having the Arrow ending or whatever, they'll just like, find some way to twist out of it and move on to the next story.
Yeah, that's what they did in the first one, I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they go through the Fox Girls one, and then they go into the Sword Girl or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But then, now it's 24 episodes. Like, what the hell are they going to do? draw them walking around stores for like 5 minutes in every episode, just walking around.
Yeah, there's probably gonna be like one episode that's all about Taiyaki.
I think you just have like one episode that's stock footage of the snow for all the girls and boys to like get really excited over.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There's probably gonna be a recap episode too.
Yeah, you know those 24 episode series always have one.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
I gotta say, I haven't watched the first season. When I was watching the prelude thing, like earlier when we were setting up the podcast and stuff, just wasn't really doing it for me.
Yeah, but you don't like the. Here we go again. You don't
Although
like
I do
the.
Have to say that this is one of the only times that I have like actually liked one of Yui Horie's performances. Like I actually thought she was kind of good in the couple like lines that she got in this.
But you said you don't like any kind of like dating sims turned into anime.
I don't. That's probably why I didn't feel anything during it.
Yeah, it doesn't count. It's like me watching Tsuyokiss, you know? I totally hate it because I think it's a bunch of crap.
Well, I'm looking forward to it just because it was one of the first anime that I'd ever seen, so it'd be nice to like revisit it. And it probably looks like 100 times better.
It was one of the first anime that I watched at the end because I couldn't wait for the fan subs. I watched it raw.
Wow. Kamisama Kozoku was the first one I watched raw to the end. I'm still Hyakuin and Hayai, I guess.
Okay, so what's our next topic?
Our next topic is Pluto is not a planet anymore, so what happens to Sailor Pluto?
Yeah, so what happens to Setsuna? Is she like told
Sailor
Setsuna?
Oh man, I thought that was like a really elaborate anime joke. Like, I totally didn't think that was like a legitimate scientific thing. Like, I thought just like people were making some sort of anime joke. Until I saw it like in multiple newspapers and stuff.
Yeah, Pluto is now a, was it like a minor planet or something like that?
It's not even a planet, it's just like a little rock floating around some area.
That'd be like an asteroid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for Pluto. I mean, it's been a planet for a while now, and just to take that away...
I mean,
away,
we all grew up with it in our school books in science class. You know, it was all like the 9 planets. The last one was always Pluto. And like, now all the kids are going to be like, oh shit, there's no Pluto anymore.
Yeah, but you could be like...
Someone think of the kids!
In my day, we had 9 planets. You know, just like how we had to walk 5 miles to school in the snow.
Uphill both ways. Yay. I think I saw a t-shirt that said, honk if Pluto is still a planet.
Really?
Yeah. Or it's like a bumper sticker.
I want one of those. It's like when I want to get rid of the penny. I mean, what the hell is wrong with all these people? First, I want to, you know, get rid of the penny. Now I want to get rid of Pluto. I mean, what the hell?
That's right. Yeah, because a penny costs...
They're going to want to get rid of freedom.
Well, it costs more to make a penny. Or it costs more than a penny to make a penny.
Apparently,
right?
Yeah.
But they can print money anyway. So they could just print a $100 bill. And then, bam, that pays for, like, a lot of pennies. Problem solved. That's why I'm not an economist.
Go to your store and you gotta pay $1 and, you know, 6-7 cents tax now, so it's like you got a nickel, but then you have no pennies. How do you get change?
So then they just round it up to the nearest nickel.
That sucks. You gotta pay $1.10
like,
now.
No way, round it down to the lowest nickel, dog.
Seriously.
Dog. Okay, what's this topic? Ugly manga?
Yeah, I just wanted to discuss it, like, there's manga, like, for example, like, Kimi wa Petto, and, like, I don't think Nana has the prettiest art. I mean, I think it's overrated. They all have, like, you know, big poopy cheeks and big bulging lips, and I'm just like, I think it's ugly as hell, but it's really popular. So, like, what's up with popular manga being ugly as hell?
Wait, are you saying that Oh Great manga is ugly as hell?
Yeah, like, I think manga that's, like, you know, before, like, all the shoujo manga that you find in the back of Book Off that nobody wants to buy, it's ugly as hell, but, like, I'm sure back then it was popular.
With, like, the flowers and stuff everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the entire artwork is flowers recombined in some way.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, yeah, so probably I would go with the story is good.
I would go with the fact that Oh Great manga is not ugly. It's awesome.
Well, actually, I have the Ouran High School Host Club, the first volume of that manga, and I don't really think it looks that good. Like, it doesn't look as good as the anime. The anime is really, really good. Like, it's
like
cute and chibi, kind of, and Harubi is hot.
There are some episodes, though, of Ouran. Like, I think the manga did more justice to it than it did in the anime. Like, maybe it was like a cheap animation team or something, but There are a couple scenes that the manga just makes it look better, but I do agree that the Ora manga isn't the most prettiest thing in the world. And it's, I think it's one of those older mangas too. So I don't get it.
At least it doesn't have duck lips.
But you know what though? Like, Ora doesn't really have a story. Like, it's just like randomness every episode. And even if you read the manga, I've read up to volume 8, and up to volume 8, there's just no actual story. Like, there's a short segment going on now recently with, like, Tamaki and Haruhi, and, like, Tamaki starting to realize, you know, he's not her father. He's like, he likes her more than, like, not like in a fatherly way. But I just think, like, aside from that, there's no story.
In way?
Like an incestuous father kind of way?
I don't know, but I don't understand, like, why is this whole father thing going on.
The father-in-law? Stepfather?
But anyway, that's what I'm saying. There's no actual story. That's about it. That's like, yeah, the only thing that's progressing in volume 8.
An older brother kind of way, if you know what I mean.
Well, Oran's kind of just like a situational comedy anyway, right? The way it's set up. It's like, you know, oh no, this girl has to pretend she's a guy and work in a host club.
The thing is, though, the manga, like, there were certain chapters in the manga I just couldn't read. They were just so boring and, like, generic and typical. But when I watched them in the anime, they seemed like they were more fun. So I think the anime was indeed an improvement.
Yeah, like, when I was reading the manga, mm-hmm, like, it wasn't, the first chapter or whatever wasn't as good. Like, I really, really loved the first episode of the anime.
Yeah. That's how I got into the manga. I saw the anime first.
Like, when Honey, like, is asking for things to do, and they're like, eat cake. Like, eat cake. Like, it works a lot better in the anime than it does in the manga.
Yeah, that's true. And the other manga that I was thinking of was, like, The Law of Ueki. Like, I love the anime because I think it was such an improvement artistically-wise. I mean, the manga was drawn, but it looks like it was drawn by, like, a two-year-old. It was just that ugly. It was like, ugh.
Well, manga is, like, pretty much everywhere in Japan, too, right? So maybe they're just used to ugly manga. They're like, whatever, it's manga. We love it.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, how much of manga is just, like, stock stuff, like, reusing, like, their same, like, cutout, like, images and stuff like that to get everything done, like, for the deadlines.
It's like reusable scenes of Sailor Moon transforming in Bandai anime. Toy animation, I can't remember.
Okay, so I think we ran out of those topics, but I did want to talk about really quickly, like, I got this visual novel game pretty recently, or, yeah.
Is it a visual novel or a quote-unquote visual novel?
It's just a visual novel. It doesn't have, like, jamming it in. It's called Ever 17. So I guess,
oh, that one.
Yeah. Have you played it?
No. Like, I went to a panel, though, at New York Comic Con from the company that, like, releases all of those, and they were giving out a whole lot of games, and, like, Ever 17 was one that they were not giving out, but I really wanted it.
Oh.
It's called Ember 17?
Ever.
Ever
17.
Yeah, and, like, I was playing it, like, a few nights ago. I figured that I would, you know, install it and then play it for about an hour, and I'd get to the first ending.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, you have to play for, like, 15 hours before you get to the first ending. And apparently I haven't gotten very far at all, because, like, all the decisions I have to make are, like, really, really stupid. Like, they don't affect the plot at all. Like, they're pretty much ask her for more information or don't ask her. And, like, it pretty much gives you the same thing, I think. So, yeah. I think I've gotten way in over my head by trying to play
this. Japanese side, and it says at the very end, I think it's the shonen, it says, like, boku wa dare, which, like, means who am I? I mean...
Yeah, it's also one of those ones where, like, the protagonist can't remember who he is. And it's just, like, a lot of it is just text. Like, the protagonist is like, who am I? And then, like, he talks, like, really, really emo for a while. Like, he just gets really emo. And then I'm like, I don't want to read this. But
wow,
then
so
there's
the oldest girl in the game is 24 years old?
Yeah, and then there's some cute girls, and then, like, more... It's like a survival thing, too. So you're, like, trying to escape from this...
Doesn't one of them have, like, a hamster or something?
What's that?
Doesn't one of them have, like, a hamster or something?
I don't think so.
Like, one of the people at the panel described one of the girls, like, thing that set her apart. She has, like, a super genetically engineered hamster or something.
I don't think I've gotten to that part yet.
Not hentai. All right.
No, there's no jamming it in. So,
yeah, Hiromeki doesn't release any visual novels with porn in them because they want to actually be able to, like, sell them in big.
Yeah, so I can't find it at getyou.com because it's not hentai.
Yeah, that also kind of lowers, you know,
your will to play.
Yeah, it kind of lowers my willpower to keep playing because it's just text and text. And I know, like, the only thing I get in return is, like, a CG of some girl kicking a control panel and, like, no panties at all.
Have you guys ever gone to Something Awful's hentai game reviews? They're so hilarious. That,
like, all the time.
They just crack me up.
I can't believe how, like, awful they all sound.
They make every game sound like total crap.
Well, they all seem like they are total crap, whereas it's like you just keep clicking your mouse until you get to a choice of which girl you want to rape. You keep clicking your mouse until you get to the ending, and then you repeat this for every character.
I just went to their site, and they have a new review for Exchange 3, and it says, sexual content. Spraying phalluses the size of baby arms and oozing mangina. That reminds me of this. There was a panel otakon. It was called Do It Yourself Bukkake.
Did you go to it?
I had heard about that. And
nobody
Seth
knew what the hell it was, but it turned out it was like a yaoi drawing panel. It was a yaoi drawing panel.
That sucks. I was really hoping it was going to be like people would thought that they would get to, like, participate, and really, it turns out they turn the tables on them, and they get bukkake'd on.
Yeah, like Gallagher? We have to wear, like,
just like that.
The raincoat?
The raincoats.
Yeah. Yeah, so another, like, getting back on topic, I guess, like, another one of the things about these visual novels, like, I didn't realize it took so long to play these games. So, like, I'm gonna have to, like, quit school or something to be able to finish this, I think. Or quit my blog, or quit my podcast. Quit something. Quit sleep. Yeah, I don't know.
Quit sleep.
Yeah.
I quit sleep when I wanted to finish them.
Whose phone is ringing?
Not mine.
Mine.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Anything else? Do you want to talk about anything, JP?
Not yet, anyway. Maybe we get to the mailbag.
Okay. So let's go on to the mailbag. We got some good questions. Let's see. We'll just try to answer these quick because last time we spent like a long ass time on them. So Exus120 asks, what anime, in your opinion, had the most fulfilling ending?
Kamisama Kazuku and Gatekeepers.
Okay, so I don't remember exactly. Like, I didn't really understand exactly
don't
what
say
happened.
Say everything.
Oh.
This topic's gonna kind of suck because you're gonna. I have either spoilers for like 8 anime or it's just gonna be like 5 seconds because we're just gonna be like Gatekeepers. And Gunbuster. Okay, on to the next topic.
Yeah, that's true. We don't want to spoil anything. Sana Jisushi? That sounds made up. She asks, what is the weirdest name of this season's anime? Okay, it's gotta be that, Zaizen Jotaro. But I'm gonna get Hinano to say it. Because
oh, crap. Where is it again?
Is it really weird, or is it just long?
It's weird because it's long.
What the hell is it? Does anybody know what it means?
It means, like, it's super... Like- crime
Federal
fighting
inspector like
oh here it is
Jotaro, or whatever his name is
here it is wait ready you ready should I say it
we need a drum roll
Naikaku Kenryoku Zai Kyosei Torishimarikan Zaiden Jotaro. Wow, actually that was from your blog.
I know what the worst name is. Momote Lollipop.
I also like the English ones, like Coyote Ragtime Show. And what was the other English one? Innocent Venus? No.
I thought Tsuyo Kiss was pretty weird. Like, because I kept thinking it was like a Tsuyoi Kiss, like a strong kiss or something. It had nothing to do with kissing or strong or anything.
That's what I thought it was too, like Tsuyoku Kiss?
Yeah, but it's nothing to do with like kissing. It has to do with like women beating up on like the men or whoever else they're beating up on.
Has that been fansubbed past episode 1 yet?
I don't know. It should be called Tsuyo Punch.
I really haven't been paying attention.
Okay, next question.
Actually, we all know that the worst title, though, this year is Utowara Rumona. No, because no one can spell it or pronounce it. And it's even worse if you try to say it in English.
But it's not really
Chronicles.
Well, it's not really this season, though, is it?
No, I said just if you consider this year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This year, then we would say Chew. Come on now.
Which, oh, Love Get You.
Love Get You, Rabu Rabu, you Stay You, Haku Show.
Well, yeah, I like Tsuyo Kiss too because it has a cool like sweet in it, or cool time sweet, or no, it's not even pronounced right. It's just cool
yeah, it's
sweet.
Cool sweet.
Yeah. Osana also asked, "What's the most ridiculous rumor that's been running around?" I don't know, the Haruhi ones.
Oh yeah.
Or the one about Hinano being a guy.
What? Who said I'm
or the
a guy?
One about the video actually having panties in.
Oh yeah, I think that's a lie. I think that's just to get people onto here and it was a blog, like refreshing constantly to check to see if she's actually uploaded it yet. There's no panty flash. Doesn't exist.
It exists, but it's on my hard drive. Haha.
I'm gonna hack your hard drive. So Seth asks, what sort of genres of anime do you tend to like the most? You know, I'll admit it, I kind of like schoolgirl, or I mean, damn it. Not schoolgirl. I like school kids anime.
But you still like schoolgirl.
Yeah, I do. I like school kids anime just because, like, the vocabulary is really easy. And magical girl shows, I actually do watch those.
I like anything that has a romantic plot. I don't care what it is. Except for, like, stuff that has robots in it. That's a real turn-off.
Even about robots and romance? Because they tend to go together.
Yeah, like robotic romance.
Those dudes are, like, getting their robots to fight for the cause of love, so,
like...
I mean, there's gotta be love somewhere.
It had romance, but robots. That's a sort of turn-off.
What about Mahoromatic?
Oh, I love Mahoromatic.
She's a robot.
I know, but when I say robots, I mean, like, actual robots that look like they came out of Gundam.
Oh, okay. Not hot androids?
Like, androids are okay, because I like Nuku Nuku and stuff.
And I wonder what genre JP likes.
Well, like we said before, the only genre that I really don't like are the, Rep and I or the shoujo game to anime conversions.
Then why don't you watch Mote Lollipop?
Wait, because I've never seen a torrent for it.
Oh, it hasn't been canceled?
I don't know, it might not have. I saw it raw, so... But JP watches stuff raw anyway, right?
Yeah.
There is a...
Unless it's hard to understand.
The first episode of Mamote Lollipop got subbed, but that's it. Okay, moving along. Okay, so Seth asks, if you had a hisatsu, what would it be? I don't know what hisatsu is. I think... Isn't it like a combat knife?
Special attack.
No, hisatsu is your, like, special move.
Oh.
Where you, like, say the name and then you do it.
Okay. Oh, I should have prepared for this, then.
I would do one of those, you know, like those, like, anime girls when they, like, those tsundereko's, like, do, like, a really, like, high kick or high punch, and, like, a guy, like, flies miles away, like, Naru Narasegawa style. That'd be me.
Like Yamada from Honey and Clover?
Oh, I don't know, I haven't watched
it. You need a name for it, though. That's the important part.
Isn't it, like, something punchy?
No, I mean, like, a really long name.
Oh.
Like, super burning iron... You know, keep sticking, like, prefixes on there, and then you add kick at the end. And since you're a girl, you have to go with ones, you know, like, with words like cute or magical in there as well, because that's just how they roll.
Punchy!
Mine would be the spinning bird kick. Come on, did you guys play Street Fighter 2?
I haven't played that in a while, oh. So I'm, like, 10 years old.
I was told that mine has to be French, so it obviously would then be the coup de boue.
What's the translation to that?
I'll give you guys the link, and you can link to that in the notes.
Okay. Oh, JP, you have to sing that song that you forgot last time.
What song?
Oh, the Eric Ohio dance. I have to pull that up so I can remember the words, because I can't remember how many like guru guru gurus there are before the moa to mawa to mawa to part.
I don't know.
Okay, well, just keep going while
okay.
I listen to it.
Let's see. So, K-Clone asks, what do you guys think of one man's fillers and another man's character development? Like, I don't really mind fillers so much, because, yeah, sometimes you can have character development, but it's not really meaningful character development, because it's not really in the manga, right?
Perfect. They have a ton of fillers that are, like, developing Hinata's character, but then in the manga, when Naruto comes back after the 3-year gap, she's still, like, fainting over him. So whatever development she had in the fillers was pretty useless.
Yeah. That's kind of one of the drawbacks. Like, the fillers aren't really official, right? So whatever happens later on, like, it kind of ignores.
Like, all these people are like, oh, Naruto and Hinata were, like, together, and, like, she was totally all over him, and he, like, gave her a hug. And I'm like, well, who cares? That didn't actually happen in the manga, and that's not important.
So fillers are just, like, bad, like... Like dream sequences, right?
They're just fillers. Like, you just watch them and you forget about it.
Yeah.
You don't actually consider it as part of the story.
I don't really mind fillers, though. I mean, as long as they're funny and, you know, stupid, that's cool.
Well, the ones recently.
It's not anime, really, but should. When I was, like, until maybe the 5th season, I was a big fan of the X-Files, and I actually really like the filler episodes in that more than, like, the alien conspiracy, like, main plot. because it tended to be like really funny or weird or scary or whatever. And like, I just didn't care about the aliens, but the ones where they had like the Frankenstein episode or the Cher episode were hilarious.
Yeah, well, I mean, the X-Files though, it's not, you know, it's not kind of not the same thing because X-Files is just its show, right? You can't really have.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have filler because, you know, I guess if you define filler as
like plot line.
Yeah, if you define the filler as, you know, not advancing the main plot, right?
Especially since we know the manga's going and people scan it now every week for Shonen Jump, but we, I mean, I've read chapter before I got the actual tankobon, and then you read the story, you know what's going on, and you see these fillers and you're like, what the hell?
And okay, then so again,
I'll
there's
try
some
to sing it. I'll try to sing it.
Okay. And then again, there's like some anime that are 100% filler anyway. You know, like Majikano was pretty much all filler except like
Trouble
the last
Chocolate.
Three episodes.
Trouble Chocolate was all filler too except the last two episodes.
Yeah, I hate it when they try to go from filler anime to like a plot. Like they try to jump
a plot
in there. Yeah,
it's kind of
dumb. Yeah, especially when they have a reset ending afterwards. Ugh.
Like in Higurashi?
like in Majikano, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Like Terror Gunso?
I never got past episode 2 of that, or episode 4, I can't remember.
Yeah, I just started watching those again.
Out.
I must be on episode like 6 or something right now. Okay, so we're going to take a break from the mailbag, mm-hmm. and J.B. Meyer's going to sing for us. So can you explain this?
Yes. I'm going to sing the Erica Ohio Dance from Sakura Wars 3, which we linked to last week. So it goes... Ohio, Ohio, bonjour. Ohio, Ohio, bonjour. Ogami-san, Ogami-san. Ohio, Ogami-san. Hakute, bonjour. Kyoumo genki, bonjour. Gururu, gururu, gururu. Wawatte, bonjour, 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 bonjour. Ohio, Ogami-san. Hey! There you go.
Wait, I thought you were going to actually have, like, music and all.
It's a cappella.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't have, the only music is, during the dance, Erica is shaking maracas, but I don't have any maracas with me, and I can't, like, shake maracas into the little, like, bud on the headset, even if I had them, so. You just have to deal with that.
Okay. Hey.
And next week I can sing more Sakura Taisen musical songs.
I saw on, Toshio, the Toshokan? I think they had the Sakura Wars musical CD or something like that.
They have, yeah, I'm downloading now. It's the Hanasaku Otome, like, spin-off, which was done by Yuki Kajiura instead of Kohei Tanaka, and instead of, and stars Saiko Chiba instead of, like, the main Sakura Taisen cast. And it's some, like, spin-off based on, what, like, one of the characters in Sakura Taisen 2.
Okay, that totally went over my head.
That doesn't mean anything to anybody except for me.
Let's go back to the mailbag.
That's why I should say I've been looking for that CD for a really long time because I haven't been able to find it anywhere, even on, like, Cher or Winnie. So I got mad excited when I saw that.
Yeah, I thought you would get excited about that.
They sing a song about Taisho democracy. Like how social progressivism and liberalism is awesome.
Wow.
Man.
I
love that series.
So, Ronin asks, care to draw any comparisons between animated and non-animated horror movies / shows? So, like, when I watch an animated horror thing, like, I don't know, I just can't really get scared. Like, I watched Ayakashi, and it wasn't very scary. It's supposed to be, like, Japanese horror. And
I just don't, like, get scared by Japanese-style horror that much.
That might be it, too, yeah. Like, I watched Jigoku Shoujo. Like Hellgirl, and I thought it was really, really hilarious. Like when they tried to be scary. I don't know if that was intentional
or
not.
It's like the haunted internet and stuff.
Higurashi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that was very scary either. Like, there's a few parts that are kind of unsettling, but it's not like, you know.
Like the fingernails?
Yeah, that was kind of gross.
Like, I think the part where. They had, like, Satoshi's body in a bag that just grossed me out and, like, that kept me shitless for, like, the rest of the night.
Really?
You know why? But this is the reason. Because when I was in Russia, if you saw, like, a big black bag lying on the side of the road, you know what was in there. It brought back horrible memories.
You lived in Russia, like, when they were killing people or something, or what?
No, I was born in Russia. I lived there for, like, 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, Russia, I mean, it's like a ghetto, okay? I mean, you walk, like, if you were, like, walking around the side of the road and there was, like, a black trash bag and it was really big and it smelled, you know, there's probably somebody's body in
gross.
There.
Gross.
I mean, cats were, like, wandering the streets. It was like a ghetto. It was like Kanemizawa.
Huh.
It was like Newark?
Yeah. Except, like, there were Russian people instead of black people.
Oh.
Everyone's South Asian around me.
Everyone in my house is Asian.
What? I thought your house was full of Mexicans. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe. But I haven't found them yet.
It's in the closet!
Well, I don't know what that means. Like a gay Mexican?
No, don't you remember that whole thing about that kid who, like, swam from Puerto Rico and hid in the closet and then they had that guy with the gun?
Ilian Gonzalez? What? I don't know.
Are you
that Gonzalez that, like, kid.
Ilian?
Yeah!
Alien?
Oh, at first, I thought you were trying to, like, imply that, like, Hang's house was, like, one of those big rig trucks that, like, they hide the Mexicans in and they smuggle them across the border. Like, Hang lives in a shipping container.
Yeah, we gotta, like, seriously edit this out.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
How do we even get to this topic?
I don't know.
So, yeah. Horror.
Because you just had to talk about Soviet Russia.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, next question. Okay, so we have this comment from someone named Victoria Romance Emma is getting a second season. So this person...
Did we talk about this already?
Well, I mean, I said it, but it wasn't part of the podcast.
Oh.
You also forgot that the person's name isn't Victorian Romance Emma's getting a second season. It's like Japanese Imodica, Victorian Romance Emma is getting a second season.
Well, I cut that out. So this person asks, do you read doujinshi? Do you stick to books based on a certain anime or games? Do you have any favorite circles? I don't have any idea. I don't read it.
I don't read doujinshi either, and I'm drawing some right now, but that's beside the point.
Some Arrow?
It's not Arrow.
We already went over this, like, if she wants to sell the Arrow ones, like, they'll make her check ID, and then she won't get to be the cool big sister that gives kids porn.
Yeah.
And by that I mean she'll get thrown out.
But if she doesn't make it Arrow, then no one will buy it, right?
Oh,
it's eternal conundrum.
Oh yeah, the Narutards will buy it. I think Emma, I'll just call it Emma, because, yeah. Emma also asks, as an ex-fan subber, what's Hinano's take on soft subs versus hard subs?
I think a lot of the fan subbers hate soft subs, especially the anime ones, because they want to be like, oh, you know, it's our work, we don't want other people stealing it, because a lot of people used to steal fan subs. They used to just, like, find scripts, find raws, and they would put together and be like, hey, we made a fan sub. That's how Anime Junkies came to be.
And it'd be easier to like, release a bootleg DVD using...
Exactly,
those
right.
Hard subs. Or soft subs.
In fact, a lot of those bootleggers release DVDs based on fan subs, actually.
One of the things that I found out is that when we were doing Beautiful Joe, we'd stopped it because it got licensed, but a French group had, like, contacted us and asked, hey, can we guys, like, would you guys give us your scripts? We want to fan sub this in French. And, like, people in a lot of countries outside of the U.S., it's like, don't really necessarily know Japanese, but they all know English.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they wanted them to translate from our scripts into Japanese, but
mm-hmm.
they couldn't, like, watch Raws or anything like that to be able to do it. So then, you know, we like, talked it over with our translator, and she was like, yeah, sure, that's cool. And then we gave it our scripts to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of fan subs, don't they translate, like, from Chinese to...
Or Korean, yeah.
Like, it's, they like, from Japanese to Chinese, and then Chinese to English? Or Korean?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what Anime Junkies is, they found those Korean scripts because they were readily available at the time, and they would put them into, like, Babelfish. And like, how you got the naked mass child events or whatever.
Yeah, that's horrible. We should link to that picture, too. The
yeah.
screen cap. What anime is that from?
I don't know. I think it was... Was it Samurai Deeper Kyo? It was some really popular series that was, like, everywhere at the time.
Yeah, that's an example of, like, what not to do when fansubbing. So, Waffo asks, is there a best animation studio out there? What are your favorites? I really like JC Staff. Like, I don't know, I just like the anime that they choose to do, or maybe their animation is really good. But, you know, their animation is just always solid, and it always looks good. And I just, like, I always watch out for anime that are by JC Staff.
I don't think I have a favorite. personally, after seeing like Air and Suzumiya Haruhi and now the Canon's coming out, I think I'm starting to lean towards Kyo Animation because I'm just amazed. But generally, I never have a favorite.
I would be a Kyoto Animation fan if they made fewer Renai games and more Haruhis and Full Metal Panics.
Well, I don't know. Like saying that Kyo Ani is your favorite studios, it's like saying Michael Jordan's your favorite basketball player, isn't it? Like, is that like a cop out?
Well, they keep, like I said, the reason maybe I like them is because they keep making animes that are series that I really, really like. And then plus they have good animation. So combo together is good for me. But
yeah. Their animation is really, really good too. Like the amount of detail they put in there.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Okay, Mionis. Mionis? Mionis asks another question. Wait, they asked a question before? Funniest summer anime? I'd have to say.
Yes, his earlier point was, nice job, guys. You made me want to eat Pocky, and it's 12:32 over here where I live.
That's not a question, though.
Where I live is Toronto. Oh, no, his question is, does anybody know how much Pocky costs in Toronto?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
and is it just me who is watching anime make Japanese things like infinity times cool? He has, like, multiple questions.
Yeah, that's why I didn't actually include those questions. Because I don't think any of us know how much Pocky costs in Toronto.
Nope.
Okay, so, funny summer anime. Muteki Kanban Musume?
And it's so not funny, it's retarded.
It's funny because it's retarded.
By process of elimination, maybe?
Because for it's, like, the only comedy one? That-
I think the only thing I recall actually laughing out loud in is, like, Inukami, Zero Notes Gaima, and School Rumble. I mean, the only one that's actually summer is Zero Notes Gaima.
Like, I mean, anime's not funny, so it's kind of a toss-up between Muteki Kanban Musume or Zero Notes Gaima, yeah.
What, that whole anime is not funny thing, that's just, like, a myth perpetuated by Digicarrot.
Well, NHK isn't really funny, though.
NHK is kind of dark humor, I think, isn't
it? It's, like, amusing, but it's not, like, I'm going to laugh out loud.
I think it's funny.
I laughed really hard at, like, Magical Shopping Arcade, Abenobashi. I laughed
pretty frequently
at Keroro. Like, yeah. I mean, they're a funny anime, but
Abenobashi was,
like,
hilarious.
Most of the comedy ones, like, I really tend not to laugh at all during.
Yeah, like, I was just talking to Hino about how, like, I was so proud of myself because I got the joke in Abenobashi about canon.
Yeah. That was great.
So, yeah.
I have a close reference for that.
Okay, so you guys say Zero No Skyma, I say MKM?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wonky Donkey asks, do you guys listen to any other podcasts yourselves? I listen to the Cheap Ass Gamer podcast sometimes, and I also listen to This Week in Tech.
I don't.
I occasionally listen to, like, This Week on the Magic the Gathering Pro Tour, but I kind of stopped because I couldn't figure out how to get it to update properly.
And of course I listen to Anime Nano Podcast while I'm editing it.
I don't.
I listen to it after you're done, though.
I'm not editing it, though, so.
Okay, so yeah. DaveTan9 has 6 questions. Some are not questions. So he says, JB Mar, you should have done the voice acting for that Metal Wolf game. Okay, that's not a question.
That's not a question.
Yeah. What do you guys think of characters in anime speaking in English? Such as the episodes of Shakugai no Shana when she's teaching her teacher blah blah blah.
I think it's awesome, especially in Boku no Gaita when he said fuck her.
He said fuck her?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't gotten that far yet. Yeah.
I love the English in Nanoha, although it's actually spoken by native speakers, so it's like pronounced properly, even if the sentences don't really sound like correct at all.
Yeah, there's one scene in Kashimashi, the first episode, where, like, they cut to NASA, and, like, NASA scientists are, like, talking about the spaceship, like, coming towards Earth, and, like, it's the most hilarious thing, because they're supposed to be, you know, I think that the voice actors that they chose, like, actually do speak English, like, they sound like native English speakers, but the script that they got was English. So, like, it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
They have to, like, say the English, because all the way the lip flaps are all set up.
Yeah, yeah, so, like, they can't say it, like, normal. Like, they can't say, call the president, and they say, make a call to the president. So it's, yeah, I really love English.
Deshko has really, really great English during, like, a scene with the UN. Hey, isn't that a question that you got? What's the deal with
yeah.
the UN?
Yeah, so this one guy, he sent me a contact. Like, he sent something through the contact form instead of the comment section, and he wanted to know, like what the deal is with anime being obsessed with the United Nations.
I don't know.
I don't know if there's
maybe
like
maybe it's all that they
answer.
Know about in Japan.
I don't know if there's like a real answer to that, or if it's just that like I think I remember reading like the UN is just is like a pretty good like world government to use if you want to do some sort of like sci-fi or like futurey thing, and you want to just like make it like a simple way to have like the entire world be like
yeah, it's kind of like how in American movies they always blow up the White House.
Yeah,
and it's like, always America that single-handedly saves the world.
Yeah, like aliens assume like they
even
know
in, like,
that
the
United
parts
States
of the world where other countries had to do something.
Like aliens intrinsically know that the White House is the most important place to blow up, right?
I know.
And not Cheney's undisclosed location.
Yeah, or the Sphinx. Well, let's go back to Dave Tan's questions. He has a lot. What's the mystery behind All Say You being able to sing well? Okay, I know this answer. It's post-production. It's like, you can have a really, really bad singing voice, but if you put it through Pro Tools, and you run it through this thing, you can fix, like, anyone's voice. So anyone can sing well. And you know that all those Say You, you know, they're being fixed.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. Especially when you watch, like, live shows. In fact, this is very popular to do on Japanese, like, J-pop shows I used to watch. A lot of times during the show, they'll actually just lip-sync the performance. They're not actually singing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they do this, but, I mean, there are some times when they actually do sing, but a lot of times, especially on, like, music station and not, like, actual live concerts or, like, music shows, they just lip-sync. Which is, like, I mean, why? I mean,
yeah.
What's the point?
And some,
first,
I think some say you
Hank
can sing.
Say, cause you're...
What's that?
At first I thought Hank was going to say, because you're a weeaboo. But a good example of this actually is of course I'm going to be saying this, but the Sakura Taisen musicals because like most of the seiyus all have like experience singing or whatever. But Akio Tsuyama, who plays Ogami, was one of his like first roles. Like in the original like musicals, he has to lip sync or like because he just can't sing. And then like 10 years later, from having to constantly sing, like he finally actually can sing like really well, like. In like the actual live concerts and stuff, without having to go through post-production or lip-syncing, like all that kind of stuff.
Did you actually know the lead singer of SMAP? He can't sing at all, and he knows he can't sing, and he makes it publicly, and like he makes it public he can't sing, and like everybody makes fun of him that he can't sing, and they all know that he always lip-syncs for performances, and they always know that they fix it in the audio. They crack jokes on this guy. They know he can't sing, and he's a lead singer of this singing group.
Yeah, I mean that just goes to show
you. I assume they all could sing. Oh, one of the other things too. Is that, like, I believe that, like, when you go to Seiyu Academy, like, they teach you how to sing, because that's, like, an important part of your job.
Wait, there's a Seiyu Academy?
Yes, if you
there's
watch Love Get You.
That's, like, how people become Seiyu.
You should
like,
watch Love Get You,
you don't
want to,
like, go to college and major in, like, drama or whatever.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that just shows you how synthetic, you know, the music industry is in Japan, and, I mean, it is here, too, in the U.S., but like, if the lead singer of a band, you know, is openly talking about how he can't sing, yeah.
It's a funny thing, it's like an idol group, too, like, it's a Johnny's idol group, they're very popular, like, they're one of the most popular, you know, Johnny's groups in Japan, but everybody knows that the lead singer, Nakai Masahiro, he can't sing.
Yeah, I didn't know about that, that's pretty interesting. But I don't doubt it, too. Another question, does JP speak any French at all? JP?
I speak French like how anime fans speak Japanese.
So it's all like kawaii, paki, ski.
Yeah,
or suki.
Instead of it being like paki, sugoi, desne, neko, neko-chan, it's just me being like merde, or liberty, equality, fraternity, or l'enfance de Marx.
Wait, don't you know
Amelie
du fromage or something?
Or, crap, what else do I say?
Amelie du fromage.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, so JP's a... So JP's a French weeaboo.
Yeah.
Worst anime you've watched all the way through to the end?
Seraphim Call. Oh my god, that was horrible.
I never saw that one.
It was so bad. Never watch it, please.
I tend to quit pretty soon in,
yeah.
So I tend not to get to the end.
I do now.
So
I
probably
do,
the
I
worst ones
now.
That I'd seen were The Melody of Oblivion and... The Ugly and Beautiful World, which I basically watched because they were Gainax, so I was thinking, like, these has to be eventually good because Gainax is my favorite studio.
I didn't
think
I agreed.
Terrible.
That's why I watched it, too.
I didn't think it was that bad until, like, the last few episodes.
Yeah, and then it got really crappy.
Yeah, and it had a Gainax ending. Morrow Matic's second season also had the worst ending ever.
Yeah, that was really weird. I remember they all got, like, naked for some reason.
Yeah.
Is it worse than the ending to Gundam Seed Destiny?
I don't know, because I haven't seen that, because I don't watch Gundam. But also, another bad anime I watched was the Dot Hack Twilight Bracelet.
Oh, no, the worst anime I've seen all the way to the end is Divergence Eve, which I saw all the way to the end because, like, one of my friends was, like, forced me to watch it with him, and
Triangle
he would
boobs.
Not, like, let us stop, like, halfway through.
Did you say she?
That was the worst, that's probably the worst anime I've ever seen.
Wait, did you say a girl made you watch Divergence Eve all the way to the end?
No, a boy did.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, whoa!
What was that one about? I forgot. Like,
Triangle
I think I saw
boobs.
It.
It's like the shittiest mecha anime ever.
Oh, okay. I'm
you
not gonna watch that.
Boobs, I'm telling you.
Okay, Sea Dog.
The gigantic Baku new boobs.
I might have to see that now.
Worst character designs ever.
So, Sea Dog 2010 asks, what are your favorite anime OSTs or songs from them?
I personally like the Evangelion movie OST.
I don't have any OSTs that I haven't downloaded, and I actually don't really listen to the ones that I do download.
I thought the
Evangelion S2 works, which is like
I never heard that.
Everything, which also includes things like the different like variations of each like background music song. So like the one where they cut out like the strings, or the one where they make the tempo like just the littlest bit faster or whatever.
I downloaded a lot back in those days, but I can't remember which ones I downloaded.
Yeah, I downloaded the Yotsubato soundtrack, but Yotsubato doesn't have an anime, so it's
like
sort of it's not a drama. No, it's just this manga, but like yeah, it has like a soundtrack.
I mean, like I thought it was like a drama CD.
Oh no, it's by the same. It's like by the orchestra that did the Azumanga music. And it sounds pretty cool.
I think the
OST for Matante Loki Ragnarok is pretty good too.
I think my favorite one is actually probably the Mahime one. It's like the only time when Yuki Hajiura did like a soundtrack to a good anime. And not like Dot Hack or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Dot Hack is overrated.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I can't stand Dot Hack.
It's bad and it's overrated. That's not good.
Yeah. Well, it's bad, but like people, like everyone else thinks it's good. I don't know.
I thought it was bad from the start, so I never actually liked it.
Oh, I hated the first season, and the second season I only watched because it had Round Table playing the opening song. Like, I'd look forward to listening to the opening song, and I'd be like, oh, there's anime after the song. I guess I'll watch.
Was it Round Table or Round Table featuring Nino?
It's Round Table featuring Nino. Yeah, actually,
like
I've been meaning to get like a Round Table CD without Nino, because they had a few. So yeah, I should probably listen to them, see what they sounded like without her. Here's a question that you wanted to talk about, like, in detail, right, JP? What's the most meaningful anime you've ever watched and why? Yeah?
There are no meaningful anime.
Is that your answer?
Well, no. I mean, like, when I saw this question, my first thought was like, yeah, I really can't think of any. And then, like, I realized that while I can't think of any meaningful anime, like, I can think of, for instance, like, a lot of meaningful films that I've seen. Like, The Battle of Algiers or Do the Right Thing. So, like, I really do wonder if, like, you know, even though anime does have its, like, really, you know, its great examples, like Miyazaki movies, like, it's still, like, and I'd say the average anime compared to, like, the average TV show, you know, it's probably no better or no worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the best anime, like, really don't seem like they can compare it to me the best, like, films or books or whatever yet.
Are you including, like, anime films within anime?
Yeah, I'm including anything you can, like, think of. Just try to find, like, anything that's, like, really freaking good. Like, when I was, you know, if I try to think of, like, some of the best anime, like, I might think of something like Evangelion, but, like, even Evangelion's, like, highly, highly flawed. And, you know, but you wouldn't say something like The Godfather or Seven Samurai or something is highly, highly flawed.
Uh-huh.
The Great Gatsby is not highly, highly flawed.
And, like, know their culture and be born with it to feel like an anime was meaningful, because you're not born in Japan, so it's not, I mean, it's not really part of your culture where you were raised in. You weren't raised in Japan, so
That can be a very, very important point as well. Also one of the things is, like, the two movies I listed on Battle of Algiers and Do the Right Thing, like, part of the reason that they are so meaningful to me is that they're from, like, not my culture, and, like, thus they, like, made me actually, like, realize something about a different culture. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there are no animes that have done anything like that for me.
Maybe because most anime isn't meant to be that deep, and when they try to be deep, like, it fails. Like, most anime that I've seen that tried to be deep failed. Like, I don't know. I mean, I have not seen Zegapain.
I 100% agree with you.
Like Lane?
Yes. Oh, that definitely failed in my eyes.
We had to watch, in one of my Japanese film classes, like, one our spring break, like, homework was go watch Lane. And everyone, like, came back and, like, looked really dejected on the day back. And the prof was like, nobody could make it all the way through, could they? Like, no. That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's like when we everyone's... have to Everyone says that show is really, really good, but, like, I couldn't get past, like, the first three episodes or something.
Back in, like...
It's like when we had to read Ulysses in my, like, senior seminar on modernism. Mm-hmm. The professor was just like, I'm going to teach you about this book in case you ever, like, decide that you actually can get more than, like, a page into it.
Is Ulysses about the general guy or the Greek guy?
Yeah. It's the one that's, like... It's the Greek guy, but retold about, like, some Irish dude.
Okay.
This is why you study computers and not literature.
Yes. So, Regine. She told me how to pronounce her name.
Regine.
She asks, who would be your first anime crush?
I think it was Ikari Shinji for me.
From?
Evangelion.
Oh.
I mean, seriously, shouldn't you lie there and, like, make up a better crush than Shinji?
Well, when I was like, I don't know, 16 or whatever the hell age I was at the time, I was like, oh, my first anime, because, you know, my first anime was Sailor Moon and Pokemon, and like, Ash or Brock weren't hot.
I mean, it's all fine and good that it's Shinji, but I mean, you can lie and nobody would ever know.
Yeah, you should have said Brock.
Brock isn't hot.
I like how his eyes are closed all the time. I was really hot for Kitsune from Love Hina. I really got pissed at Keitaro because he didn't get with her.
I realized that the reason that I don't care about the Renai game and, like, Bishoujo game conversions, because I really don't, like, ever get attached to characters or anything. Like, character is, like, the least important thing to me when I think of, like, what I like in a movie or an anime or something. Like, if I had to list my favorite characters, I don't even really know who I would, like, list. Like, I just don't care.
I think J.P. Meyer's first crush was Sasuke. He just doesn't want to admit it right now.
My first crush was obviously Honoka from Pretty Cure, even though she's, like, 9.
No, it was that Gundam from Gundam Seed.
Right.
It was the Gundam, not one of the characters.
It's the Gundam. Wow, we ran out of questions, I think.
Oh, did we?
Oh, wait, one more from Regine. Do any of you collect different versions of the same anime? Digicarrot has, like, three episodes.
Yeah, didn't he say, like, he had a bunch of Maihimes or something?
Yeah, he has three versions of Maihime Volume 1.
The only thing I have two versions of is Groove Adventure Rave, because I fansubbed it, and then I bought the bootleg DVDs in Chinatown, so I have, like, my fansubs in the bootleg DVDs.
So you actually bought your
versions.
Own.
I bought Chinatown bootlegs of Karakano and Evangelion, and then bought like the real editions later.
Mm-hmm.
Like I did that with Karakano because it wasn't licensed at the time, and I really wanted to have it. Mm-hmm. And I did it with Evangelion because I had heard that they were doing the remastered edition, but like I didn't want it that, but I wanted it now, so I didn't want to spend the money for like the real version when I was going to buy when I really wanted to buy the remastered one. So I just bought, like, bootleg, and then eventually bought the remastered one and sold my bootleg. And I also bought the, like, crappy version of Nadeshiko. And then when they released the remastered version without the overlays, I bought that and then sold my crappy one on eBay for basically what I paid for it, which was $30 because I bought it off eBay.
Nice.
I do not, however, have three versions of my Hime, even though it's, like, my favorite anime.
Yeah, I would try to sell it, too. I wouldn't want to have three versions.
Yeah, but Digicarrot is, like, a special case.
Favorite anime is not Maihime. Like, how Maihime is our favorite anime.
Okay, so I guess that does it for the show, right? Unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about?
What is the otaku point of no return?
What? When did that get asked?
After, who is your first anime crush?
Oh, really? Did someone wrote a comment?
Oh, one of the other problems, too, probably... One of the other problems is that if I didn't start watching anime until I was, like, 20, I've kind of already got past that point where I would randomly have a crush on an anime character.
That's true, yeah. It was like, I think I got past that point when I was, like, 18 or 17 or something. I was like, whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah, I didn't see that question. Okay, yeah.
Oh, I know who my first anime crush was. Windows 2010.
You're still enamored by her, aren't you?
Yes. She keeps playing hard to get.
And by hard to get, you mean...
impossible to get.
Okay, so Regin...
by possible to get, I mean I really couldn't think of a good comeback.
Okay. Regin? Oh, I can't... So, last question from Regine is, otaku fanatic-wise, how do you know you go beyond the point of no return? It'd probably be once you start a podcast, or appear on a podcast, or write your own blog.
No, it's once you're a hiki. You're doomed.
I think once you start, like, turning down, like, invitations to the outside world in favor of anime, like, your friends ask you if you want to, like, hang out, and you're like, no, I have to go watch anime. That's probably the point of no return.
Oh, I agree.
And we have already gone beyond that.
Become a hikikomori.
Yeah. That's like basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, I totally didn't hang out with my friends after class during the spring semester last year because I had to run home and watch my Raws from share of my Ultima.
Yeah, and Hinano, aren't you always talking about how like your co-workers ask you to hang out afterwards, and you're like, no, I'm going to watch anime. I'd rather watch anime.
No, I just don't want to hang out with them because they were total losers.
Oh, okay. Because they don't like anime.
No, they're just like losers in general.
Oh, okay.
But now that there's no must-watch anime for me like that, I can go and hang out again.
Nice. We should hang out sometime, JP.
Why don't you come over here?
Okay.
Yeah, me and JP are going to hang out at Mango next.
Oh. Okay, I'll go get my horse and ride over there. Probably better start now. So, yeah.
Asian people have horses.
People in New Mexico have horses. I guess that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. And thanks to my co-hosts, JP Meyer.
Yep.
And Hinano. What?
Yeah, I totally embarrassed myself this podcast.
Thanks, Hinano.
See you next week.
And this is Hang signing off. Later. Hey, Hino and JP, I just want some tickets to the hot springs from the lottery. Wanna go?
Sure, I guess.
It's gonna be a mixed bag. Let's go pee on the girl's side.
Echi na no wa ikenai to omoimasu. Jikai, Anime Nano Podcast, Dai Hachi wa...
Ero Ero Onsen, Dai Sakusen.
Tanoshimi ni!
Yada, minai de, hatsukashii!